secret heart as our peers of Fatiha. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayru maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. La ilaha illa hu. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, this is the high point of our journey. the culmination of 3 weeks of travel. It's so great. Alhamdulillah. And here in the beautiful Dergah and with such close companions and Alhamdulillah. But it was a magnificent travel. We had beautiful, and inshallah, everyone will be able to visit. Many of you have. I mean, some of you have. But each circle is so unique. That's what's so beautiful. There's no stamp of Hazreti Pir. Hazreti Pir is diversity itself. Diversity in the unity. So there's a unity of being that you sense a sameness, you know, it's so interesting. It's like a quality, but like a taste, but yet it somehow flowers in all these different ways. And so every circle is unique and blessed, and each one also, you know, kind of reflects somewhat the nature of the circle guide, of course, who is presiding there. And it's very good to come back, alhamdulillah. But you know what it feels, you realize you're on an ongoing journey. I realize we're never stopped, we never reach the so-called goal. So this is the caravan of lovers. I mean, when you travel like that, you it becomes more concrete for you that we're always on journey, we're always together with the companions of love. And we're always having new adventures. We're always, you know, Allah is always sending us new adventures. Alhamdulillah, new revelations. So, but sometimes you have to travel physically to, you know, to awaken that again. Traveling is good. In fact, it mentions in Quran that for traveling that it's one of the things, one of the spiritual, you know, activities. Is to travel, actually. Now, of course, we don't need to travel on an airplane or a car. We can actually literally realize that we are traveling. But sometimes it helps to distance ourselves from our home, to go away from home, to, you know, kind of joggle our consciousness and make us more present. Yeah, and then of course you appreciate what you call home then when you come home. But then you realize, of course, that home is the heart. Heart is home. That's where our real home is. Home is the heart. And so wherever we are, you know, and sometimes when we're away from our physical home, we can feel lonely or away from home, homesick. But, you know, all we have to do is really turn to the one in the heart and alhamdulillah, feel that really as our home. This certainly, a travel to the West will definitely inspire, because, you know, you do go into new territory, and there is something just about the West itself. Even Ibn Arabi spoke of the West as, you know, the place of origination of the spiritual realities. And so it's interesting how mystically even, and in this country, you know, definitely so much of the European culture has come to the East and has stayed somewhat more in that pattern of the European. And then as you go West, whether it's joined with you know, Native American. That's also a very strong presence there, particularly in Santa Fe. It's an amazing place you feel, because there is a sacredness about the very location and a consciousness of sacred way, consciousness of the holy path also. And very striking. Alhamdulillah. This is, you know, something of the nature of a dervish community also, because a dervish community is really something very creative. It's not, you know, I mean, so is the path. The path, the life with Allah is extremely creative. The more awake and conscious we are, the more we feel the divine creativity constantly happening through ourself and, as we say, on the horizons of our perception and through our companions and in the world. So creativity and praise, divine praise, this is what just came across, that phrase, which is very much also Sheikh Noor's own being. His manifestation is so much praise, about praise and beauty. And so just came across this phrase of Ibn Arabi that said that the highest purpose of the human being is to praise, to have, you know, so praise. So art is praise, of course. Love is praise. You know, of course, service is praise. Our whole being is praise. But again, the more conscious we become, the more beautiful it becomes, and the more certainly helpful and true it is. So one thing is to be praising God, but only God knows that. Another is to participate in that praise consciously. And that's amazing. So, inshallah, alhamdulillah. So, let's praise God. So, I'd like to, should we read from Sheikh Muzaffar? I mean, Saturday is his birthday, so we want to join together on Saturday and celebrate his birthday. But I thought maybe I would read a little something from him tonight, or we could read from Rumi also, who was, you know, so much part of Sheikh Muzaffar. He would apparently read the Masnawi with his family, and his wife told me that they would read together, and he would, you know, discourse on it, read a few lines, and share his insights into Rumi. I'm sure that must have been amazing. So, yeah. Or Sheikh Noor, who I sometimes consider our modern day Rumi. Yeah, Sheikh Noor. Let me read something from Noor, since I mentioned him in the context of praising. As I've said before about Sheikh Noor, I feel that his teaching is mainly through elevating and inspiring and pointing to the beautiful. It's very little. You know, you get teachers who harangue about, you know, who kind of dwell on you know, the shadow side. Well, Sheikh Noor was fully in the light, and that's, I guess, why Effendi gave him the name Noor. So I'll read something from New Light on Sufi Science, which is an extraordinary essay. Let's see how far it is. With the supernatural power of its wisdom, and I've just opened to this page, which comes about 6-7 pages into the essay. With the supernatural power of its wisdom, the Sufi science penetrates to the interior of sheer existence and discovers itself face to face with a unique essence, an essence, capital E. In this manner, Sufism attains release from the labyrinth of mirrors, the way of living that is always unsatisfied, always separated from reality. The life of self-concern eventually leads to moral solipsism, to the negation of humanity. By means of transfiguring ecstasy, in other words, ecstasy that transfigures, and spontaneous altruism, the science of selfless consciousness teaches the spiritual way of interdependence, interpenetration among all souls, among all conscious creatures, among all cultures, among all the living spheres of being. This rigorous science does not simply reveal the dynamic coexistence of everything, but also unveils the absolute identity of everything, affirming without hesitation the most radical principle of unity. So, in a way, this interesting, it's sort of a, you know, what I spoke about earlier about our own mystic community and how coming to the essence, but also the absolute uniqueness of each thing. So it is interesting that he calls Sufism a science, and I think originally, and by, of course, the great mystics and Sufi adepts, it was known as a science. And, you know, whereas today sometimes the life of the spirit is viewed as, oh, it's an emotional thing, or it's a psychological need that we have, or maybe infirmity even. Why do people need God? Why do people need that level of, or that kind of life and prayer? You know, it's amazing that degree, when you see the degree of blindness that can exist. It's like the opposite of the truth. And so sometimes the opposite of the truth is what is kind of dominating, can dominate a society. But then, you know, Allah sends the renewers, what's called the renewers of the spirit, the revivers of the spirit, who speak truth and who reveal the true nature of life and the true nature of what it means to be a human being. So,
Jacob, can you say something more about the word science as it's
science,
applied,
yeah,
here?
Sufism,
what are they,
yeah. That's an interesting question. Yeah, what is that science? So that science is, you know, to know. And so it goes back to the injunction that was given to the prophet to tell people, know yourself and you will know your Lord. I mean, that is the basis of Sufi science. Mm-hmm. Know yourself and you will know your Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then how we come about that knowledge, how we, it's given to us, how we acquire it, is a mystery in part. And in part, it is these, you might say, streams of light that the mystic orders are. But part of, you know, and then you can think of Sufi science, of course, as the application of practices, the prayers, and all of that. But essentially, in its essence, it's just stepping into the light. And the light is what is, you know, projected by these beings, by these, like a Sheikh Musafir, like Sheikh Noor. And so once you align your heart with theirs, then all of a sudden you are in a state of the Sufi science. You know, you're already the dynamic of knowing yourself. I mean, obviously it starts prior to that, but, you know, what seems before taking hand to take forever or long, long time, once we take hand, once we are initiated and step into the streams of light, seems to go very swiftly. I think that's one of the big differences, and then much further than we could ever have reached without, no question, because light is knowledge, you might say. And so being in the light And again, this is by the divine will. How do we, is it our own intention? Of course, that was, seemed to be our own intention, but as we know now, it's the light that is pulling us, the essence, even within the light, that is drawing us to come into the light. And Allah says, you know, I take you from the darkness into light. So that's the level of knowledge. Because, of course, there's disparate knowledge, you know, of all things. You see, the knowledge of the heavens and the earth and all of that. And that's something like an Ibn Arabi also. He speaks on that level, of course. And, you know, there is that level of knowledge. But the most basic essential knowledge, the one that really saves us, is simply that knowledge that is, you know, being in that light, light of God, light of the essence, and light of our own heart, and aligning that light, and staying in that light, staying in that. And that's also what the Tawheed is, you know, what called the state of unity is really remaining in that closest, absolutely closest relation to that being of light. And of course, you know, it's even beyond the light, but the light is the manifest of the essence. Now, the light can manifest as darkness too. There are states of mystic darkness that it's still a light, it's a black light, but it's still an emanation.
So that's ongoing revelation.
Ongoing revelation. Our life is, each of us is a holy book. Each of us is divine revelation. Absolutely. That's right. And the more you go, the more you realize that, you know, and that's why it says the real learning is our own heart. And somehow we get the orientations, you know, to, what is it, to be able to stay in that. That's what the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it's not like it's literally straight, because life is, you know, in all over. But it's the Sirat al-Mustaqim is really that intimate connection, that we stay in that intimate connection with our source. That's the Sirat al-Mustaqim, you know. And so we can, that can manifest in countless different ways, of course. And that's why sometimes of the, you know, the great mystics, people don't understand them, because they'll seem to be doing things or behaving or in ways, sometimes, you know, that will be, people will think, not understand them. They will, and of course, as we know, many of them were put to death even, you know, so. So the knowing is an unknowing, ultimately. The ultimate knowing is not knowing. And that's, you know, this is said by the great mystics, that ultimately the highest knowledge, those who stand on knowledge, it says even in Quran, that are the ones who say, we cannot know. But to be able to genuinely know that is a very, very high state of knowledge. You know, it's not just said by someone, you know, like, in the first level of ignorance. It's the highest level of ignorance, of not knowing, that we cannot know ultimately God. We cannot know God ultimately. And then there's a beautiful, I was reading this morning actually, the Thursday morning prayer of Ibn Arabi. I just want to read this one passage of that. It's a very long prayer, and it's an extraordinary set of prayers. So how often do I cry out to you as the one who calls, when in truth you are the one who calls for the caller? How often do I secretly whisper to you as one who confides intimacies, when you are the one who confides for the confider? Oh my God, if union is the essence of separateness and closeness the very soul of distance, if knowledge is the site of ignorance and recognition the seat of non-recognition, what then is the destination and where the starting point of the path? Oh my God, you are what is sought behind the aim of every seeker, what is acknowledged in the eye of the denier, what is truly close in the separation of the one who distances himself. Yet here conjecture has supplanted understanding. Who is distanced from whom? Who was favored by whom? Beauty says, you alone, while baseness cries, the one who rendered good and beautiful all that he has created. The former is an end at which journeying comes to a halt. So the former being you alone is everything. And the latter, meaning when, you know, praising God for all the bounty and the beauty that God has bestowed, is a veil by virtue of imagining there is other than you. Oh my God, when will intellect be free from the bonds of constraint? This is so beautiful, this passage. Oh my God, when will intellect be free from the bonds of constraint? And when shall thought's eye be able to glimpse the fair beauties of essential realities? When will understanding be severed from the root of untruth? And when shall imagination be unfettered from the cloying cords which tie it to associating? When will conceptualizing be safe from the schism of separating? And when shall the precious soul be detached from the characteristics of its creaturial nature? Oh my God, acts of obedience do not profit you, nor do acts of disobedience harm you. In the hand of your almighty sovereignty lies the command of hearts and forelocks, and to you is returned the whole affair, without distinguishing between obedient or disobedient. MashaAllah. And I'll just read one other, which is exactly what you mentioned. I'll just read until there. Oh my God, for you no matter distracts you from any other. Oh my God, for you necessity does not restrict you, nor possibility limit you. Obscurity does not hide you, nor clarification explain you. Oh my God, for you rational evidence does not substantiate you, nor logical proof verify you. Oh my God, for you eternity without beginning and without end coincide in your reality. Oh my God, what is this you and I? What is this he and she? Oh my God, should I search for you in plurality or in unity? How long will I have to wait for you? And how can this be done when a servant has no preparedness nor support without you? Oh my God, my subsistence through you lies in my annihilation. But is my annihilation from myself or in you or through you? Is my annihilation thus realized through you or imagined through me or conversely or even both at once? And is my subsistence in you likewise? Oh my God, my silence is a dumbness necessitating deafness, and my speaking is a deafness necessitating dumbness. Mm-hmm. Perplexity in all, yet there is no perplexity in you. Let's make a Fatiha for the Sheikh Al-Akbar, for the secret heart of our peers, and for Mevlana Rumi, for Effendi, for Noor, for Hazreti Pir, for all the Sheikhs and Sheikhas and sages and saints, the secret heart of our peers, and to the secret heart of Ibn Arabi, Sheikh Al-Akbar. Al-Fatiha, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. This is a beautiful prayer, this Thursday morning prayer, also because it shows him, it reveals his own state of perplexity. Usually, you know, you see him, asking extraordinary different states, but this is somewhat unique in that way, where he is, it's a very intimate, you see more into his intimacy and his own prayer also to Allah in that way of being completely lost in gnosis. And that's why he speaks of knowledge also as bewilderment, where he says that really the end For the Gnostic is bewilderment, and that is true knowledge. So that's also part of the not knowing, because, you know, you just that little passage we read. I mean, if Ibn Arabi can be bewildered, then, you know, so we should be highly bewildered, you know, which we are. I just have to admit it, you know, that we don't know. And what a great relief that we don't know. And when we release ourselves from knowing, at least on that level, not to say that we can't try to understand things, of course, how things work, that's we're meant to understand. But on the deepest level, we're meant to know that only Allah really knows. And that's greatly freeing. And then somehow we cut the cords, as it says, of causation, because we always think things happen. This is part, of our training, Western logical training. Things happen through causes. This happens, and therefore this happens. And, oh, if this hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be in this state. Or, you know, it has that then kind of effect on us, but we always think we understand why things, or we at least we think they happen. Things don't happen that way. They happen directly because Allah wills that they happen, moment by moment. That's how they happen, and that's how they manifest. So, and the Gnostic lover, the deep lover, lives completely in that state. And may we, inshallah, may Allah take us into that state of simply, you know, it's really out of the mind frame, and where we let go of that control that we imagine ourselves to have, and simply live in the ever-blossoming essence of God. You know, and moment by moment, we live in Allah's life as it unfolds through us and through everything with us, around us. So, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, may Allah bring us into that state. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So let's prepare for zikr.